George Frederick Handel's Messiah has been going strong since its premiere in Dublin in 1742. Commentator Jan Swafford says one reason the great choral works of the Baroque period have endured is the attention that Handel and his contemporaries paid to the words.
There's an old story that once a librettist of Handel's was awakened in the middle of the night by a German-accented ruckus in the street. He threw open his window to find Handel in a carriage, shouting, "Wat ist Billows?" Clearing his head, the librettist explained that billows are waves on the sea. "Ah!" cried Handel, "the wave, the big wave!" Then he went home to compose the wave. He couldn't picture the word in music until he knew what it meant. The pictorial touches in Handel's Messiah are at once so pervasive and so innately musical that a lot of people never notice them. For an obvious example, here's how Handel sets the word shake on a jittery descending line.
And I will shake.
It gets more complicated when the text presents a series of images, but Handel is ready to illustrate every one of them, as in the familiar aria, "Every valley shall be exalted." Here's how the valleys get exalted in the music, by a line striding exultantly upward.
Every valley.
Then Handel shows us the crooked becoming straight and the rough places plain.
The crooked straight, the crooked straight, and the rough places plain. And the rough places plain.
The juicier the imagery in the text, the more extravagant Handel became. In his oratorio, Israel in Egypt, he plays the plagues for laughs. "He spake the word," the chorus proclaims, "and there came all manner of flies."
He spake the word.
Best of all, when the singer is in on the joke, is the amphibian plague. "Their land brought forth frogs, frogs," the singer mellifluously croaks. And note how the accompaniment is hopping, hopping, hopping.
"Their land brought forth frogs, their land brought forth frogs.
Of course, musical tone painting has been around probably as long as music has. An ancient Greek story tells of a master of the double-piped aulos who improvised a musical description of a battle so hair-raising that people were talking about it for the next 200 years. Handel's contemporary J.S. Bach was perhaps the ultimate master of musical picturing and the most subtle. In Bach's St. Matthew Passion, for example, the words of Christ are always surrounded by a halo of strings. Bach carries illustration further and deeper than other composers, with a cabalistic sense of the unity of word and sound. But if Bach paints every scene, he also transcends it. We see that in a haunting aria from his cantata, "Herr, gehe nicht ins Gericht," "Lord, go not in judgment." The text is all Lutheran vengefulness, speaking scornfully of sinners terrified before the judgment seat of God. They tremble, they accuse each other, they make excuses. Bach's accompaniment for the aria begins with a stylized trembling. The harmony lacks a bass part. These sinners have no foundation. An oboe repeats a phrase over and over, like the sinners repeating the same excuses. But here the humanity of Bach steps in. If the text is full of vengeance and scorn, Bach's music is suffused with pity and empathy. Bach stands there beside these sinners, and so do we. There you have Bach's sacred music in a nutshell, making the stories of his Christian religion into universal human experience. But, let's face it, nobody had more fun making pictures and music than Handel did. To return to Messiah, there's that edifying aria where he reminds us poor sinners, to our benefit, I'm sure, that all we, like sheep, have gone astray.
Jan Swofford is a composer and writer, author of biographies of Charles Ives and Johannes Brahms.